May we take hold of a life that truly is life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In case you haven't met me already, my name is Robert Frewerth, and I am here as your interim associate rector, working alongside Sarah and this fantastic staff, and with this great choir, and with you all, as you search for your new rector, as you're in this time of transition. And my role as the associate rector is threefold. One is I'm a helper outer priest. So I do things that priests do, like, don't know, but Sarah will help me. Sarah will help me with that. And then after doing some of those things, I'm here to support the lay leaders who work in adult formation and pastoral care, so to support and strengthen them in their work. And then thirdly, I have a particular, I think of it as like a special ministry or a mission, and that is what I call interim spiritual formation. And that is to be with you all as a person who asks, how do we sustain and nourish and deepen our souls? How do we deepen and sustain our souls, our connection with ourselves and with each other and with God? How do we do that in a time, a challenging time, right? Because it's challenging because you're in transition and things are a bit up in the air. How do you deepen your soul at that time? How do we deepen our souls at a time of turmoil in our country and confusion and loss? And in our personal lives, there are always challenging things arising. So my question is, how do we deepen and nourish and sustain ourselves in challenging and changing times? And my whole life has been about this. 20 years in a monastery exploring this in a monastic culture, and then being trained as a therapist and working as a therapist in secular practice, and then 10 years in parish ministry. My time as a father, you know, I have two kids and all that good stuff, family life. So thank you for your welcome. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your community and the ministry of this place as I ask this question with you all of how do we deepen our souls? How do we take hold of a life that really is life? Like, take hold of it just a little bit more. So that when your rector comes and the new chapter opens for St. Paul's and there's a sense of coming together at last with the new leadership, you are ready with life and with more soul to really move with whoever comes and whatever that looks like. So today on the first step in our journey in spiritual formation, we have the gospel of the rich man, also called Dives, from the Latin for rich man, and Lazarus. And the point of the gospel seems a bit too obvious, right? I mean, I feel sorry for the people who wore purple to church today. I'm just saying. But there's a rich man, and he wears linen and purple, and he feasts sumptuously every day. And outside the gate, there's Lazarus, who is covered with sores like Job from the Old Testament. And he longs for just a bit of the food at the master's table. He gets none. And the dogs come and they lick his sores. It's a very poignant thing. Very poignant. Dives and Lazarus. And they die. And when they die, there is this great reversal. And Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham, held in heavenly happiness and contentment, while Dives is down in Hades being tormented. And apparently there's no way to go from one side to the other. Like, you can't like go from like loving the wolf pack to the Tar Heels or something. But it's kind of like that. It's a great, great divide. But there's a great divide. And the point seems really obvious. You don't really need a preacher for this, right? If you're listening, you don't need a preacher. The point is, in a time of distress or confusion or challenge, one thing we do to open our souls and sustain ourselves is to open our hearts in compassion for this suffering world and the the people who need our care, the people who have less, to open our hearts for them and to recognize our common humanity, invite them into our feast. That's one way that we nourish our souls, to be generous and good in those ways, right? And I'm happy to say that all I've known about St. Paul's in my 10 years in the diocese and in my 2 weeks with you all lets me say that I'm happy to see how much God is doing this among you all. I mean, you're a parish with your hearts open to the suffering of this world, to the people in need, to the migrants and people with needs for affordable housing, and you're doing such enormously great work with that. Thank you, God, for what you're doing with St. Paul's, with that, right? And then Timothy, like, nail this point down. Timothy's like, you know, for the love of money, that's the root of all evil. And if you love money, you're going to pierce yourself with many pains and wander far from the faith. So he says to the wealthy, what you have to do is not be haughty. Again, keep your hearts open in compassion. Be generous. Care for this world. So that's the first reading, and it's all very obvious, right? The second reading, second way of reading this gospel or hearing it, I became aware of in my time at St. Matthew's in Hillsboro, where I was a rector for some years. And the associate there, Lisa Frost Phillips, she had come out of Christ the King in Charlotte, which was a predominantly black parish, and she and her husband were the only white people in the parish. And on the Sunday when this gospel was proclaimed, the preacher asked, okay, if you identify with Lazarus, raise your hands. And the whole congregation raised their hands, except for Lisa and her husband, Dixon. And he said, okay, if you identify with Dives, raise your hand. And Lisa and her husband raised their hands. There's a different way of hearing this gospel than to be about moral instruction. Be good, right? That's the moral instruction. Be generous and kind. If you see yourself as Lazarus in this gospel, you're waiting for Jesus to come and finally turn the world upside down and to rescue you out of your powerlessness and out of your pain and bring you into the bosom of Abraham. Like, there's a promise there that, my God, the way this world is unjust. And when Jesus comes, he turns it upside down. And blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will have the kingdom. Blessed are the grieving. Blessed are the hungry. The world's turned upside down, and you hear this gospel not as a moral instruction, but as a promise that all shall be well, and all shall be well, and it shall be well with the turning upside down and the inviting into heaven and the giving glory to the lowest and the least. Heaven, there's a promise. And at St. Matthew's in Hillsboro, it was really difficult. Is we saw these two ways of reading going all the way back to our founders who enslaved thousands of people, thousands, and the enslaved. Because the founders heard this gospel as, be nice to your slaves, be generous, you know, baptize them. But the enslaved heard this as a promise that Jesus is Lord and he's coming to really turn things upside down, and we will be in the bosom of Abraham. So, there's a second thing in this gospel about how to sustain and deepen your soul in challenging times. And that is to cling to Jesus as Lord, the Lord of love and gentleness and goodness, who turns the world upside down and who will carry us into the bosom of Abraham, who will take care of us. In other words, to have hope that the world isn't the way it should be, but it will be made right. So 2 points then, how to feed and sustain our souls. And the third one, I have 12 points, Sarah. We'll be here for a while. No, no. The third is the last, I promise. But the third way of reading is very mysterious, and it comes out in that last line of the gospel when Abraham says, no, if they haven't listened to Moses and the prophets, they won't even pay attention. They won't be convinced, even if someone should rise from the dead. And that should break your heart. It breaks our hearts. Even if someone rises from the dead, people aren't really going to pay attention. And I hear in that all the pain and all the poignancy of Jesus as people are just going their way. And in this reading of the gospel, this hearing of it, Lazarus is Jesus, and Jesus is Lazarus, and we're back as the dives. And what Jesus hungers for, what he's starving for, what he's desperate for, is just a little bit of your life. He wants to share his life with you and to receive your life into his, and to make of his life and your life something shared, so that you're living in response to him and moving as he moves, and there's a sense that my life and Jesus' life are somehow coordinated, resonant. So this is the third lesson about how to sustain and deepen soul in difficult times. And this is so important, that you take some time every day in your life and you set it apart as sacred time to show up with yourself and all the concerns of your life and to pray, to offer it to God and to listen to God's word back to you and to ask God, how am I to be with you in my life now with these challenges, with the country the way it is, with that going on, with this sickness, with my parish in transition, what is my ministry now? What is my life with you? And to really begin to wonder about that and to write about it and to talk about it with each other. So you get a sense of like, oh, this is how Jesus connects with my life situation right now, my retirement, my graduate school, my kids, my loneliness, my happiness, whatever. We make that connection and get a sense of this is how I am to move with Christ. We can do that. So how do we sustain our souls in difficult times? We reach out to the less fortunate, a life of compassion, reaching out, caring. There's always a temptation to shrink in difficult times and to contract. But we resist that and we reach out. And then we realize that we're not here to make the kingdom entirely now, but Jesus will come and he will do this and he will turn the world upside down, and we are part of showing that right now, of making things well, of showing the wellness of God even here. And then we take 1% of our day, which is 14.4 minutes. So do whatever you want for 99% of your day, but take 1% of your day and pray. Just bring to God your life. Listen to Scripture. Read the lectionary readings. Talk with each other. How is God in your life now? How could God be in your life now? And when you give God space, when you're like, hey, Lazarus, come on in. He's like, all right. And he'll join you at the table. The table that is your life and that God is so hungry for. May God do this with us and bless us. And may we, through all of this, take hold of the life that really is life. Amen.